week, we looked at a number of different ideas. We looked at just the concept of having a short, brief framework to clearly share the essential truths of the gospel such that you could provide an answer to someone for the question, what must I do to be saved? And I thought a very helpful part of the discussion happened right at the end, where Chris Munger asked the question, would this be your primary way that you would share the gospel? Especially if I'm looking to put pebbles in people's shoes, which is an analogy BJ often likes, that you're looking to leave a conversation, you're looking to walk away from a conversation with someone having a thought that just niggles at them as they go along to think, maybe I should think about that more. Hopefully you then being able to have a follow-up conversation. And I said to her, no, this is the thing where you get the pebbles to put in the shoe. Meaning that you may not share this 3-minute gospel presentation with someone on a regular basis, but these are the essentials that you're seeking to communicate in some fashion over time. And I think it's helpful because there are going to be times when you are going to have a brief ability to share these truths. For example, I find that the most likely way that I'm going to share the full gospel with someone is by asking them if I can share my story. Asking if I can share my story of how God has changed my life. I find that if I'm having a good dialogue, even with a stranger, and I've been asking them about their life and I've been having an opportunity to find out about them, then I often, I don't have a ton of people then say, well, Brad, tell me about you. I don't know if you find that. I find that people are actually more willing to talk about themselves than they are to then turn it around and ask, well, what about you? I don't know. Maybe you guys are all encountering lots and lots of people who are vastly interested in you and want and thirsty to know more about you. Most people are more thirsty to talk about themselves, right? But if after I've had a good long time getting to know them, I can say, well, that's really interesting. I wonder, do you mind if I tell you a little bit about my story? And do you know how many people have said no to me about that? Zero. Zero. Because, of course, even if they're not intrinsically interested in knowing about me, they're at least polite enough to say, hey, tit for tat, right? And so then if I have an opportunity to tell them about my story, what do you think is I'm going to be trying to talk about most in my story? My conversion, how I came to know Jesus. Now, I could tell my story in a way that doesn't actually share the gospel. I could say, well, and then I met Jesus and now my life has changed. And that would be true and accurate, but what would it not do? Teach the gospel. Remember, that evangelism is teaching the gospel with an aim to persuade. And if I explain that I have encountered the gospel, but I don't actually explain the gospel, then I may have told my story accurately, but I haven't actually communicated to them the message that they need to own and believe Jesus for themselves. Does that make sense? So I think having this nice little summary or an ability to, in 3 minutes, to communicate the essential truths of the gospel allows you then, in the context of something quite friendly, sharing your own story, sharing your life story, and in it, the thing that you find most compelling about it, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any questions about that? So I call this tongue-in-cheek elevator pitch evangelism, but the most likely thing it is not likely that most of you are going to go to New York City and take opportunities to, on the elevator, you're going to ride the elevator up and down all day, telling people about Jesus in 3 minutes or less, right? But how many of you ski? Ski lifts? They're all covered up. But I know people who are able to. Now, they've got a little more chutzpah than the average bear, but they try and use the rides on the ski lift to sit. Now, if you're going to share the gospel with someone on the ski lift, do you have time to get into Genesis to Maps? No, you don't. It's got to be short and sweet. Why are the skiers laughing? This is I need to know this because I'm not a skier. So. Some lifts are long. Uber rides. I don't know. You know, some people are better at, I find that if I have an actual occasion to talk to someone that isn't awkward, I mean, it might even be awkward, but I find it difficult to approach someone with no particular reason other than I want to talk to them about Jesus. I find that the most difficult for me personally. But if I'm actually, I don't find airplanes as difficult because there is an actual reason why the two of us are sitting next to each other. A ski lift is kind of, you might find a ski lift the same. Now, it's going to be different in all different occasions. But I find that if I've got a reason to be there talking with them, then I at least want to think, how could I direct this conversation Jesus' word? And if I can, so if you want to know more about how to share your testimony, the story of how you came to faith and used the gospel to do it, we did a course seminar a year ago or so that you could go back and listen to those talks. Or talk to someone who was part of that class and say, hey, would you help me? Help me write my story out. Okay, that being said, we're seeking to teach the gospel with the aim to persuade. We are talking to people with an objective. We want to persuade them to believe in Jesus Christ. We're not just communicating information. We're communicating information with an intent. We want them to share the hope of eternal life that we ourselves have. Okay, any questions from either last week or questions as some of you would have gone home and worked on the God and man thing? Anything before? We're going to hit Christ in response today, and then I am going to give you more time to work today. But any questions that you have or opportunities that someone had this week to share the gospel with somebody? If you've got a chance to apply some of this, why don't you let us know? Yeah, CJ.
I wasn't here last week, but I did have a chance to share the gospel with my...
Please, tell us.
My foreman of sorts on Friday. He came in after being late for work, and he was like, bro, have you seen the news? Like, wildfires in California, there's Chinese drones coming out of the water, and there's AI that can make you say things you never said before. And I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what to trust anymore.
Okay, stop. I don't know what to trust anymore. Where would you be trying to think about pebbles? We're going to hear what Pete, what CJ did. Say what?
Nothing. I just hope I did it right.
We need to stop being so worried about doing it right, folks. No, seriously. Like, why are you excited to hear CJ's story? Already. We don't even know how it's going to end. Why are you excited? Because he had an open door. Because we don't know how open the door was yet. There were openings, there were possibilities. And what do we already know that CJ's going to do? Is he gonna just change the subject?
No.
No. And it excites our hearts that our brother actually is going to tell us a story about how he stepped into the gap. Isn't that cool? All right. Keep going.
Good story. So after he said,
I won't interrupt you more than three or four more times.
So after he said that, I said, man, I just think as Christians we have the best answer and we actually have the truth. And that is like so comforting in this day and age. And he was like, oh, are you super religious?
Did you hear what he said? Just to see his voice isn't the loudest of all possible men. Okay, say it nice and loud, CJ. What did you say?
I think as a Christian, we have the truth. And we have comfort in knowing the truth that is objective. Yeah. Okay. It's a man's answer to all the lies and all of the confusion.
So in the context of a guy who's confused about how can I know what is true, he was able to put a stake in and say, as a Christian, I actually know what is true. Okay? So then he said, I'm super religious.
Yeah, are you super... you're super religious. I was like, I think in the way you think of it, yes. So I was like, I actually think the Bible is true, and I actually believe what I say I believe. And so then we talked about some more stuff, and then we were talking about how essentially we got to the topic of like just sin, and I was talking how like, yeah, you know, we have a hard time, you know, doing the right things because we're just kind of a slave to our sins. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to hell. And so then I was like, well, that's kind of the whole point, is that we actually have, we have no power to do the right thing. And the whole point is that in every other religion, there's a ladder that you must do certain things in order to get to heaven or whatever that may be. But with Christianity, God himself came down, lived the life that we couldn't, and died the death that we deserved. And then through faith and repentance, we actually get to have that. We are given the righteousness of Jesus. I didn't say it like that. But I just said, the death is the death that he died is our death, and his life is our life. And so through faith and repentance, we can be saved from our deserving judgment. I kind of like
Do you think that's the last conversation they're going to have about these things?
Nope.
So let's see, BJ.
I've just never had anybody immediately respond when I've done something like that and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Yeah. I've just never had anybody do it. It's like I'm excited when I get that opportunity, and then I'm just like, "All right, we'll see where the Lord takes us," and I'm going to look for another angle at another time.
Yeah. Yeah, Missy. Yeah, and I think one of the main ways in which to do that is often it's just helpful to actually solicit their consent. You know, so let's say it was a situation maybe with someone. I mean, I think this guy's probably a little hard to offend, is my guess, or at least he's, you know, or at least if you do offend him, he's just going to tell you off. But if you have an opportunity to follow up, if you just ask the person, "Hey, listen, I really appreciated our conversation from before. Would you be open to talking about this again? I had a couple more thoughts," right? And then if they say yes, if they say no, you know to back. You know that it's actually, I think it's okay to back off for a period of time and wait for the Lord to do something in the background. But if you solicited their consent, then hey, they said yes. Yeah, Jacob.
I like, so CJ's form or whatever said, "Oh, you're like religious or something," and I've had success when people say that to me, because I identify with Christ, you know, enough. I'll say, "Yeah, what does that mean to you? Like, what does it mean to you, like, to be religious?" Because that kind of gets
them. You ask them, what
ask
do you
them,
mean by?
Yeah, what do you mean by religious? Because then a lot of times they'll say something along those lines of, "Oh, you know, like you read your Bible and go to church, like you do good things," and I'd be like, and then kind of that's like a little entryway to talk about faith and stuff like that, which is different.
Yeah, usually making a bit of a contrast between their understanding of what it means to be religious. Yeah, Steve.
I think if it is an extended kind of relationship, you know, the sentence that says they don't care what you know until they know that you care is important.
Yeah.
May not be an opportunity to witness them, but just care about them. Ask them how they're doing. You know, follow up with that person in that way would lead to more opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. If you have the long and extended relationship, being sure that you are living in front of them in such a way that they know that you care about them as a person and not as a target. By the way, let's look at one other thing about CJ's friend. What worldview, let's go back to last semester and say, what worldview things were going on in this young man's life? What things did he have in his worldview that actually promoted this conversation moving forward? What categories did he have?
The existence of hell.
The existence of hell? What else?
The world's messed up.
The world's messed up?
Future unknown.
Say that again.
Future unknowns.
Future unknowns, which cause, you know, kind of a sense of distress.
Is there anyone we can trust?
Is there anyone we can trust? Right? So which means he does have a concept of what? Of absolute truth in some way. Like he is looking for someone who can actually provide him with the truth, or something that can provide him with the truth that's reliable. So all those things become touch points, because all those things relate in some way to the gospel of Jesus. He even has a category of being accountable to God. You know, now, if he really believed that he's going to hell, and it was the Bible's version of hell, I don't think he'd be quite so flippant about it. But at the end of the day, he actually is recognizing that he's accountable in some way, shape, or form to some God. So, all right, did anybody else have a fun conversation this week? Maybe it was as simple as inviting someone to a Bible study or to church. Maybe it was as complicated as a 45-minute conversation. Yeah, me.
Yeah, I didn't get to have a conversation, but I know that Nick Ashline has had many a conversation with many a people, including Ben Ashline. So Nick is Ben's brother, and so I know that he has heard the gospel. He knows about things. But I was at the gym. He was there, and I was like, I have got to invite Nick to the men's retreat. And I don't know if he's going to just blow me off and be annoyed. But I'm going to invite him. So, where I know he'll hear the gospel. So, I invited him, and then Ben let me know a couple of days later. Like, he was like, awesome, I'm coming.
Yeah. We do have a number of guests coming to the men's retreat. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, so there's an invitation. But what does BJ know is going to happen when he comes to the men's retreat? He's going to hear the gospel. So BJ didn't get the opportunity to go through God, man, Christ response with Nick that day, but he put him in the way of being able to have that conversation, because at the end of the day, we're always seeking to try and connect them to this message, which is the saving power of the God, which has the saving power of the gospel. Sorry, the saving power, which is the gospel. Okay, good. All right, Christ. Last week we talked about God and we talked about man. In our God, Man, Christ response, Green Mountain Coffee Roasters rubric framework. Let's talk today about, so you see on the worksheet, we've got God, man, and on the back side, that was just because I knew some of you wouldn't necessarily have your sheet from last week, or you didn't have a sheet from last week. So go to the back, and we've got Christ in response. We're going to look together brainstorm, something like that. Crowdsource, there you go. I knew it had something. About Christ and about response. And then I really am going to give you time to work so that you can jot down. Next week, we're going to do two things. We're going to have opportunities for you to share, you know, to share your version. So be, especially if you're maybe on the side of those people that really might have difficulty with that, like be thinking about, oh, Lord, would you have me be one of the people to stand up next week and in the context of the group, share my 3-minute version, because I'd like to have a number of us do that. And then actually I want to talk about prayer and how prayer relates to this kind of evangelism, and we're going to actually spend time in prayer for ourselves and for people. So, but now let's look at Christ. What are essential truths to communicate about Christ so that someone can have the information they need to believe and be saved? God's Son. Okay? So his identity. Actually, let's divide this into his person, who he is, and his work, what he did and does. I think that can be helpful.
Live the sinless life.
So only sinless life. Actually, that should have gone down here, but who cares? Natasha.
He's a fitting sacrifice.
Okay, fitting sacrifice. Fitting sacrifice. We'll put this down here. Which probably needs some explanation. What does it mean that he was a fitting sacrifice?
We need to talk about sin.
Okay, and presumably we've done that in the man section, but having talked about and introduced the concept of sin, then what do we need to flesh out a little bit briefly?
He's fully able to pay the price that sin demands.
Okay, fully able to pay the price of sin, for sin.
Maybe in the previous section you talk about Adam, like the first Adam, and then Christ is the second Adam. So, like, Adam is our head, but Christ is also our head, and that's how this can all work.
Yeah, you could do that.
Or would that be too confusing?
Would depend on whether they heard about Adam before. I mean, most people still have some. I would say if you can find a way to do that, brilliant. Probably not what I might do.
Came to say.
Came to save. Okay, God's son, he came to save. Let's flesh out this top part first for a little while. Like, we're just...
Fully God, fully man.
There we go. Pretty important that we get that in. Fully God, fully man. Why, from the Christmas series, do we need him to be fully God, by the way? This is not fair. Totally sinless. So able to save because he's sinless. Why did he have to be man? So he can die, so he can be our representative and die. So he's our representative. Representative. Okay? Yes?
Kind of gets me to a question. So, like, in Delighting in the Trinity, Michael Reeves is, like, adamant that Christianity has to be the triune God, otherwise he would not have Christianity at all. So, in that effort, we're talking about, we mentioned that Jesus is God's son, and that Jesus is also God. People are going to be like, what? So then, do you go and describe what the Trinity is? Because that sounds really confusing.
That's fantastic. We actually talked about that last week, which you were here for. So what we kind of, BJ and I leaned to the idea we do not need to, see, when you look at the gospel presentations in the book of Acts, you don't see them delineating the Trinity narrowly, you know, in that kind of narrow sense, which leans us to believe that that's not technically necessary in this initial gospel conversation. Of course, someone who truly comes to faith in Jesus will not deny the Trinity. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's part of the initial explanation. But if they have, if they're like, wait a minute, you said Jesus is God's son, now you're saying he's God, then you're probably going to talk about it. Yeah, do you like that? There's my assistant home group leader over there, to be honest. Natasha.
That his sacrifice was willing.
Oh, very good. So able to save, I always like to say able to save and willing to save. He willingly took the punishment our sins deserve. Now, oh yeah, Martha.
Oh, I was going to add another thing.
Please.
I was going to say, in every way like us.
Oh!
Like us.
In every way like us. Without sin.
Without sin.
Yeah. Now, there is a summary that BJ really likes that CJ used in his little conversation, and then DJ is going to use it next week. That he lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we deserve to die. There's a fair amount packed into that. Now, you might have to unpack it, but if you want some handholds, because of course you're not going to say, When you have an opportunity to have this conversation, it's probably not like, excuse me just a minute, let me consult my notes, and then pull up your phone to your file on Drive that, you know, you can't get access to in the moment because you don't have Wi-Fi. No. So if you have a few hooks to say and a few well-crafted phrases, which I think that is one, he, you know, lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we deserve to die. That's pretty easy to remember, isn't it? And it communicates a lot of what you need to communicate in the Christ thing. So don't be afraid of using phrases, you know, using things that you would say again and again. Damien?
I think, too, that it's good to say he's the only advocate between us and God.
Okay, the advocate or the mediator? Advocate. Mediator. Okay. So, Chris.
The only way.
Okay.
To God, to salvation, to so much.
To the way. The way.
There's
yep.
The concept of, oh, I can do this, I can do that.
Yeah, because you're trying to kind of, you're wanting to, if the conversation goes this way, to make sure that you close off the exit of, well, thank you, that's very nice that you believe that, and I'm going a different way. So, Sonia, you had one?
Like the necessity.
The necessity of believing in Christ, yeah. Aim to persuade. Remember, aim to persuade.
I'm not sure how this fits in, but it's kind of like what Damian was saying. He's our advocate. He loves you.
He loves. He loves.
Kind of making it personal if you're talking to somebody like.
He loves sinners.
You should come, but also he wants you.
He loves sinners. He wants sinners to come to him. Yeah. Jacob.
I can see this going
a million different ways.
What about his resurrection? Like, I can think of that being like a tough one to sell to someone. Like, oh yeah, this guy raised from the dead. Like, that's tough. But it's obviously true and important.
What do you notice about that? We already talked about with the gospel accounts in Acts, the gospel of preaching in Acts. What does every gospel preaching in Acts have in it? The resurrection. The resurrection, the apostles thought was darn important. Because the resurrection was the sign that, that God... As soon as we talk about resurrection, PJ wants in. No, they were convinced. What did the resurrection prove? When Peter or Paul or one of the other apostles is proclaiming the gospel, what does the resurrection prove?
Jesus is God.
Jesus what?
He's God.
The promise.
All of that, yes. That his death was effective, that he was who he said he was, that he is God, and specifically... Yeah,
God accepted it.
That God accepted it, and that was... That this is the man that God is going to use to judge the world. Actually, they often would take it to the end, and they say, God has appointed a time when God is going to judge the world through a man that he has set his seal on by raising him from the dead. Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, I'll just throw myself under the bus along the lines of, like, not worrying if you don't get this right.
Oh, yeah.
You have certain instances where you really do want to get it right, and when you're being interviewed by elders of the church that you're seeking to become the pastor of, it's kind of a good time to get it right. And so when I was being interviewed by the elders on the phone, my first interaction with the elders of Redeeming Grace Church, and the first question they asked me was literally, what is the gospel?
Very good first question.
And so I explained what the gospel is, and I thought I did a pretty good job. And at the end, Paul, you know, how sweet and kind he is, and his voice too, he goes, BJ, I'm assuming you believe this, but you didn't say anything about the resurrection. And I was like, oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, if I'm going off the pattern of Acts, I want to try and get the resurrection. He died for sinners, and he was raised on the third day. Yes. And I use it as, which proved that he was who he said he was.
Mm-hmm. And also that resurrection applies to those who believe. You can believe that we are going to be raised because Jesus went first.
Good. Let's put a pin for that because we're going to move to response now. I got anything critical that we've missed? Right? I can't. Teacher doesn't always, he sees it. So, Martha?
I was just curious about the concept of about his reigning and king.
Would
put that in there somewhere?
Reign, king.
Because, you know, CJ's point is, who do you trust and who's in charge?
Yeah, he's in charge. Yeah, totally. All right. Now, this is where we sometimes stop. We sometimes stop with God, man, Christ. And we don't call for a response. Now, again, based on how the conversation's going, and the openness of the person and how many times you've talked about this, this is going to either be more like, this is what people need to do, this is how people must respond, or this is how you must respond, or this is how I responded, So there's a number of different, but we need to talk about how someone gets the benefit of Jesus' death and resurrection. So if we leave things at Jesus died and he's the Savior, then they don't necessarily think, they don't necessarily know that there's anything they actually are called to do, summoned to do, commanded to do. Do you realize that God has commanded men everywhere to repent? Right? That's what the scripture says. He commands everyone to repent, which means that whether they know it or not, they are commanded to repent. Well, we better get them that info. Okay? So, what do we need to include in response? Probably easiest to break it down into two as well. And what would those two be? Awana kids? Post-Awana kids? Baxter? What are the two parts of response? Lexi? Oh no, I failed! No, I'm teasing. What are the two things that people need to do in response to the gospel? What?
Like, devotional.
To honor him in everyday life? Yeah, that's part of one of them. Yeah. Okay, help out. Help him out.
Repent.
Repent. Okay? Repent and
believe.
Repent and believe. Which really are two aspects to the same. They really are they are two sides of the same coin. If I am turned away from God, right, and I'm turned toward my sin, then repentance is turning away from my sin, and belief is turning toward God in Christ, right? So this action is both repenting and believing. It's a believing repentance, and it's a repentant faith. It's really all, like, you don't get to repent without believing, you don't get to believe without repenting. It's part of the package. Okay, but we can actually distinguish them. What do we need to, because Jesus says he comes into Galilee, and his first words recorded in Mark are, fulfilled, thank you. Time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well, let's break it down. What's involved in repenting?
Recognizing that you are a sinner and you're guilty, and you deserve God's.
Okay, acknowledging. Okay, or owning, you're a sinner. Okay, so first you have to acknowledge it, then you have to turn from sin, which you've already explained sin, probably up above. Okay, so admitting, acknowledging, owning, recognizing that you're a sinner, and what does that mean? What are the implications for being a sinner?
You're condemned, separated.
That you're under judgment. However you say that, I think you need to communicate that we're under judgment for sin. Right. In general, to come to faith, you have to come to grips with the fact that you deserve to go to hell. There you go. So, need to turn from sin. What else? Yeah.
Maybe this just is overarching over the whole thing, but the whole gospel is true. You can't just pick and choose, yeah, there's a God, but I'm not under judgment. Like, the whole thing is true.
Okay, so part of that is you need to, I would put that under faith, need to believe this message. Believe this gospel.
Now, if this is true, then
believe God's word. After last course seminar, I'd probably say you need to actually start believing God, what God's word says about what you, your own mind. Okay, yeah, Kevin.
I think a good category for people is trust.
Okay, belief involves trust. Trust or entrust yourself to Christ. By the way, X is shorthand for Christ. That's why Xmas, Merry Xmas. It's actually not Xing Jesus out of Christmas. It's X is Christ, Christmas. So entrust oneself to Christ. Trust Christ. Is there a hand there among the young men? Josh?
I actually was going to say, not only do you have to turn from sin, you have to turn towards Christ.
Okay, turn to Christ.
That would be in the repentance.
Yeah, it could be either. Turn to Christ. Yes, sweetie.
Submitting to him.
Submitting to him, okay? Submitting. Which involves, Lexi, devotion, honor. Obedience. You begin to follow him. Follow him. He's the boss. Okay? Yeah, Natasha?
I also think it's important to mention that this is like an active relationship, not a passive one-time experience.
Active and ongoing. Good. Steve?
I was just going to say the belief that this is the only way.
Okay, only way, yep.
Well, I'll do this, yeah, that sounds great, but I'm also going to do this and this and this.
Yeah, only. Forsaking all others, give yourselves only unto him. Only Jesus.
Confess him as Lord. You don't just confess up your sins.
Okay.
Confess
him as Lord. So he's Savior and Lord, yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe you kind of summarize. You need to believe on him as your Savior and follow him as your Lord. Yes, Carol.
They can know that their faith is on the right track when their desire changes from pleasing themselves to pleasing Christ.
Okay, pleasing, no longer living for yourself. Pleasing self. Now you know my handwriting is starting to get bad. Self. Not self, but God. Okay, I think we've probably hit. BJ, anything on there we're missing?
I think it sounds great, Brad.
Okay. You have time now. Work by yourself. Work with a partner. Work with a buddy. Take the worksheet and work at getting maybe two or three sentences. And is this a final draft? By no means. This is just getting some thoughts down about how you would actually explain this to somebody. Take a few minutes, whether you are starting with God and man or whether you're moving on to Christ in response. And I will be around. BJ's here. Eric's here. Eric's here. Kevin's there. John's there. So you got your elders, most of your elders in the room. Mike's still out of town. And yeah, and Skyler's not here. We got eight elders out.